Take two people with an insatiable curiosity about food, the restaurant chef and the writer-designer who knows how to handle a camera. Add an agenda that's taken them around the globe, 12 countries in 18 months, and you have the award-winning perennialplate.com. Its creator, Chef Daniel Klein, and videographer Mira Fine are back from yet another remote location. Mira, Daniel, it's good to have you both back.
So good to be back.
Great to be back.
You've been in Ethiopia. What did you find there?
Well, first off, I mean, this is the last of a series of trips that we've been on, 12 countries in 14 months, and we thought having a show that's about food and the wonders of food, but also finishing with a country that's had so many challenges with it, right, is kind of an interesting way to end and kind of put things in perspective a little bit.
All that being said, we also love Ethiopian food, specifically injera. And if you're not familiar with it, it's a bread that they eat three times a day for all of their meals. It's super sour, it's spongy, and it's made on this big iron hot plate. So the bottom is really smooth and the top is very porous. And so Ethiopians will put dollops of stews on top, and the porous part of it will soak up the stews.
It's used almost like a plate.
It's used like a plate and a utensil, and you also eat it.
Yeah.
And injera is made with a type of cereal that grows in Ethiopia called teff.
So we ended up going to these different teff farmers' homes. These are extremely poor people, but so generous. You come in and first they prepare you coffee and do this beautiful ceremony for you. And then before filming anything, they want you to eat. And so they make this meal for you. And it's kind of hard because
no one tells you that this is going to happen.
They're making fire with the dung, the cow dung. And then right after that, it's customary to feed your guest with your hands.
Uh-huh.
So this lovely woman who's just been playing around with cow dung then puts her fingers in your mouth. And you kind of feel like,
you can't be rude.
You can't be rude. Oh, you do it. You do it. Yeah, you can't say no. And it's delicious, but you are a little worried, or at least I was.
But, you know, also I think that idea that you share food even when you have almost nothing.
Yeah,
it's pretty dramatic.
It is.
It's a wonderful and sad truth of the world that people who have nothing are willing to give you
whatever they have.
Whatever they have. Mm-hmm. And that's never been more clear than in these homes in Ethiopia.
Now, teff is a grain that's the size of a grain of sand.
Yeah, it is. It's like amaranth, but way smaller.
Yeah.
You know, it's a grass, and they grow it in the fields and cut it. And then they put it in a big pile, and then they take their cows, and they walk over it over and over again. And so the cows are knocking the grain off of it.
Ah.
And then thresh it. You throw it in the air.
Oh, yes. And the
seeds come down.
The seeds come down because they're heavier, and the whatever chaff or whatever blows away.
But they're so tiny. And so the amount of work that goes into it is just extraordinary. And I mean, a really interesting thing about growing teff there and talking to these farmers is that there seemed to be a big fear of a repeat of famine.
And
so,
of course.
Yeah. So we're oftentimes looking for people who have an individual point of view, a passion.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really hard to find in Ethiopia because, A, there's not the level of education. B, these farmers have never been asked, why do you farm? How do you feel about farming? That's just not something that is thought of. It's, I'm a farmer. That's what I do. That's what I've always done. And then because of this fear of famine, they are really doing what the government tells them to do. So we were hoping to find organic teff, and people who helped us organize it told us we were going to find organic teff. But then we walk into the home and we see the pesticide sprayer.
Uh-huh.
It's because it's what they think is going to be the right answer for avoiding famine.
Yeah, you'd imagine. You've faced famine and you've lost crops. You'd use every tool you could lay your hands on.
Of course.
Yeah, which is interesting because they also still use very traditional methods of harvesting, but they use non-traditional methods of spraying, and seeds they use are given to them by the government now.
Sold to them by the government,
yeah.
So they can't harvest those and just replant them the way farmers traditionally have done?
I think they're encouraged to use the improved seeds that the government is selling them.
But they have to buy those seeds.
It was interesting. This one farmer was doing quite well, but his only debt was actually to the government for the seeds and the pesticides. So we saw some interesting, complicated things happening in which they were placing their faith in this new system. And the old system perhaps had failed them as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It's understandable, completely understandable.
What you found was the reality of the country.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, this was your last trip. So 12 countries, 14 months. How do you feel about what you've experienced?
After traveling to all these countries, I think we felt pretty inspired because here, when we were about to leave, everyone has their fears that they want to put on you about sickness, robbery, all these things.
Right.
And you visit 12 countries, you spend all these months going into people's homes, and, you know, we never got robbed. We got sick one time from a tourist restaurant.
Not from eating in anyone's home.
I got fleas in Ethiopia.
She got
fleas. It was my own fault.
We never experienced anti-Americanism. We had this wonderful experience in which we were able to connect with all these people. You know, we were just going to someone else's home. And to experience that was just a once-in-a-lifetime and inspiring experience.
It's great to see outside of the bubble that you live in. You know, I hadn't traveled very much at all before I started on this huge 12-country adventure. And it makes you appreciate what you have and see people differently as, like, you know, interesting and unique and equal. And it's just a wonderful experience that I would hope that lots of people would get to do.
Thank you both for sharing this with us.
It's been our
pleasure.
Thank
you so much. It's been so much fun.
Mira Fine and Daniel Klein are the perennialplate.com. Now, be sure to head to the website to take a look at their work. That's splendidtable.org.